Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. Bump the table. Open your Bible to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Open your Bible to Isaiah 11. We are not celebrating Hanukkah. It's a whole other thing. I talked about that on the first Sunday we're doing this. One of the scriptures I want to remind you of, as Jamie was praying over Jackson, is you know, 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. There's an awesome song that goes with it and everything, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation who've been called out of darkness into the... And then we declare the praises of him. So we've been called out of darkness. How many of you with an amen, how many of you can say he called you out of darkness? Amen. So being out of darkness is like he calls you out of darkness into the light, and then you just keep walking in the light as he is in the light. And so this is what we're celebrating during this Christmas season, is what the Lord, what I felt like the Lord spoke to me was about the lampstand. And we started it with Isaiah 11, and then we looked at scriptures like Revelation chapter 2, which is where Jesus was basically telling the church of Ephesus to, this is what you're doing well, here's what you're not doing well, you need to repent, and when you repent, come back to your first love, do the first works, or if you don't, what will happen is I will remove the lampstand. And I told you, I don't know all what that means, but I don't think it's good. And so we, the church, the lampstand represents the church. It clearly says that in scripture. And Jesus is the one standing in the midst of the lampstands. And so the best thing about the lampstand is not this 100% pure gold that I got on Amazon for like $17.99. It's not the candle. It's the light. So symbolically, and what I want you to take away from it is Jesus is the light of the world, because he's the light of the world and we are in him. When we come into relationship with him, then he lights our candle and we become the light of the world. His light through us. But before Jesus came, before you gave your life to Jesus, before I gave my life to Jesus, we were like a candle but no flame. And we're in darkness, having all kinds of potential, but still in darkness. And so walking with Jesus and walking in a relationship with Jesus is not about just, oh, I'm going to go to heaven. It's about letting the light and the unique light of Christ shine in the uniqueness of who he made you to be. And everywhere you go, that those who sit in darkness will see a great light. That means God wants to light you up so that you can shine in the middle of people's struggle, in the middle of people's pain. And I want you to get this in your heart. Everything that we're teaching, it's not that oh, Pastor John's going to go shine somewhere. No, you are going to shine. You are going to shine. Many of us in a room can testify about how we were used to further darkness. We were contributors to darkness. And now we just need to be, you know, people that walk in the light, as he is in the light, and let your light shine. So in a sense, you're a lampstand. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 11. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, looking at verse 2. This is prophetically talking about Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge of, which I believe is the knowledge of God, knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So these, and your Bible talks about the seven spirits of the Lord and stuff. So one day years ago when I was praying, the Lord out of this verse spoke to me and was like, kind of like, do you see it? I'm like, see what? And one, two, skip a few, it led me to the lampstand, that the center branch of the menorah, not Hanukkah, not the menorah that represents Hanukkah, but the menorah that was in the house of the Lord, that God said, make it this way. Build it according to pattern, is the single center, you know, stem and branch, which is the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And then the next two that come out of it, which are connected, what I believe the Lord was speaking to me is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. We talked about that. And today I want to talk about counsel and might. And here's how the Lord said it to me years ago, and I pray this like every day of my life. I pray through the lampstand of the Lord being established in my soul with fresh oil and fresh flame, you know, over my soul. And I'm like, Lord, by your Spirit in my soul, establish the lampstand of the Lord. I pray about the bread of heaven, you know, being in me. And I pray my heart being an altar unto the Lord. And I go through the whole tabernacle and temple and prayer because it all points to Jesus. And it's all about him. So I'm like, by the Spirit of the Lord, let your counsel bring might in my life. Because they're connected. The wisdom and understanding is connected. And they're both connected to the Lord. It's all centered on the Lord. You take away the middle one, the rest don't work. And so today I want to talk to you just a little bit about the counsel of the Lord that releases and unlocks the might of the Lord. Counsel and might. And so the counsel of God that releases the might of God. And so many of y'all know this scripture. I want you to turn real quick, just because we're right there in Isaiah chapter 9. And this is, you know, famous Christmas season verse, but we've looked at it. Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called. So his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. See how they're connected? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what I want you to see is who's going to call him that? Who's going to say, oh, there's the king, there's the son who's also a king, and he's ruling and reigning. Who's the one that calls him that? I believe that's representing the church praising him, that we say, wonderful, you're wonderful. You're my counselor. You give me counsel. You are mighty. You're the almighty God. You're the Prince of Peace. You are my peace. And you've reconciled me back to my Father. So I believe what we're seeing here is prophetically is who the Lord is, and then the people of the Lord recognizing who he is and then praising him. Guys, that's why when we have worship, times of corporate worship, hopefully you do this privately, but times of corporate worship, never let your shyness and never let your tendencies of whether you're, you know, kind of shy, don't ever let that stop you from worshiping the Lord. Because on this earth, you have a unique time to bless his holy name. I'll wait to worship when I get to heaven. Now, I hope and pray that heaven is so good that I will actually sound beautiful when I sing in worship and that y'all will like it. But the real thing is, it doesn't matter to me if you like my worship. My worship is unto him. Because I want him to know, to me, if nobody else says anything, nobody else sings anything, nobody else is comfortable to get to stretch themselves a little bit to give you praise, no one else is willing to just bless you and let something come out of my mouth that exalts you. If nobody else does it, that's not my problem, God. But for me, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say, you are wonderful. You're my counselor. You're a mighty God. Your might has worked in my life. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you because you are good. Man, one good praise session. I'm almost feel like changing the sermon. One good praise session will readjust every perspective in your life. Your pain and the problems and everything you're facing. Oh, no, because you put you at the center. And when you put you at the center, God, why is this happening to me? Oh, and you put you at the center, you distort everything you're looking at. But through worship, when you put him at the center, it reorients it to its right condition. Oh, you're supposed to be at the center, not me. That's what this verse is about to me, putting him at the center. And so when he's at the center, we got to seek his counsel. I don't know whose counsel that you seek, but I know this. Wise people in their relationship with God will be redirected by the counsel of the Lord. Unwise people will only be redirected by the consequences of the world. You have to make a decision. Will you be the kind of person that leans into the counsel of the Lord and that you can simply be redirected and corrected by a conversation with God? Or are you the kind of person that you got to wait till the circumstances smack you right up in the face? I don't want consequences and circumstances leading and directing my life, reacting to this and reacting to that and reacting to that. That's immaturity. I want to be the person that says, I want to seek, and if I don't know the will of the Lord in a certain situation, I want to find the will of the Lord because His will is best. Amen? So I think of Psalm 1. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man or the person who does not walk out the counsel of people who don't get counsel from Jesus. Have you ever followed ungodly counsel? It leads you, see, blessed is a man who does not walk in ungodly counsel, because watch what happens. It's walking, standing, and sitting. So I'm going to illustrate this, and hopefully this will make sense. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, meaning I'm not doing what God says. I got a tip. I got some insight from Pookie and them. I got some insight. I didn't go seek the word, but I got on the internet, watched a YouTube video about whatever, and I didn't read the Bible, but I saw something on Facebook. So I'm going to walk in some ungodly counsel. When you walk into ungodly counsel, it leads you in the path of sinners, which what that means is I am now in a path of other people who have walked in ungodly counsel. Because the ungodly counsel leads me to where they've been. So the ungodly counsel helps me to walk into a pathway where sinners are and where they have found themselves and found their life. And if you're walking in ungodly counsel and you're around a bunch of sinners, it's not labeling them and judging them. It's saying you have missed the mark. So you're walking, your ungodly counsel helps you to walk, empowers you to walk in a pathway that is literally named missing the mark. And then you stand there. And you know why you walk and then you stand? And you stand with the ungodly sinners because the council led you to the same place. And you stand there because none of y'all know what to do. And it's like, I didn't think it was supposed to work like this. You promised me something. There was something, but this is it? This is the council? This was your genius idea? And you stay around this long enough with a bunch of people who are bitter, and then they start like fighting with one another. And then it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And if my coat catches on fire, somebody tell me. Scornful is the result of where you were standing. Standing is a result of the counsel that you took. Scornful is not the might of the Lord. Scornful is the misery of the ungodly counsel of men. So what I'm talking to you today about is how do you, even if you're at this place, how do you say, you know what? I'm going to seek the counsel of the Lord so that I can walk in the wisdom of God and I can stand in all that He is. And my place of sitting won't be sitting in a place of scorn. It will be recognizing I sit at the right hand of the throne of God, like we talked about last week. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places because it is finished. So I'm simply getting to live. I simply get to start releasing what He's already finished for my life. So the counsel that comes from the Lord is from a plan that's already finished in the future. Jesus ain't like just trying something. Let's see if this works. So the counsel of the Lord is already out of the might of what He has already accomplished. I didn't see y'all doing that thing again. Is that, you know, thumbs up if it's good. Thumbs up if it's good. Okay. All right. And so the reality is, look at Proverbs chapter 1. Make a little left and look at Proverbs chapter 1. I'll show you a couple scriptures. Proverbs chapter 1. What a great, I read some Proverbs to you last week. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Look at this scripture. Oh, it's so cool. Proverbs 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Whose counsel do you seek? What counsel do you take? You got to really look at yourself. I've been doing that in my own life. Like, who do I seek counsel from? And I tell you, it's been. We went to see Debbie Clendenin yesterday, and it's just, man, I so miss Rick. Gosh. The Lord would give him wise counsel that would confirm with the counsel. You need somebody in your life like that. Like the next scripture, let me show you Proverbs 11, 14. Same book, just make it right. Proverbs 11. Man, I love hearing those Bible pages turn. That just gets me jacked up. I love it. Proverbs 11, 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Who do you seek counsel from? Who do you turn to? Who do you go to when the pain hits and the problems hit and you're sitting in the seat of the scornful? Do you go back and get more ungodly counsel? Maybe there's a cycle that's happening in your life and you're frustrated saying, God, why don't you change anything? And God's up in heaven saying, why don't you change anything? Why do you keep going to them? Why do you keep going to cisterns that are broken and can't hold water? Why do you keep going to this false stuff? I come to give you light. I've come to give you my word. The unfolding of your word brings light. I've come to bring you out of the darkness. Don't seek counsel from those who are still in darkness. And so we need to have relationships with people that will give us wise counsel. We need people to not give us false counsel based on false comfort. I don't want to surround myself with people who are going to tell me what I want to hear. I'm thankful for the leaders in this church who, even though sometimes it can be frustrating, they don't tell me what I want to hear. They love me enough to tell me what I need to hear. And it's from the counsel of the Lord. If it's somebody's opinion about whatever, ain't got time for that. I want counsel from the Lord. Because the counsel from the Lord will change my... See, going back to Psalm 1. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the pathway of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, meaning the blessed man, doesn't do all that, but what he does do, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the instruction of God. His delight is like, Lord, show me something. Let the light reveal what the wisdom you're wanting to reveal and the counsel that you're wanting to reveal. Look with me in the New Testament, John chapter 14. We have a comforter and a counselor. The Holy Spirit of God is given to us. He is our helper that comes alongside of us and walks with us. And I want you to see how he not only comforts us, but he comforts us with his counsel. Meaning he doesn't tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear to change our life. So John chapter 14, and I'll just read a couple things. John chapter 14, look at verse 16. John chapter 14, we'll look at verse 16. And just read 16, and we'll see what happens. Jesus talking, this is at the Last Supper, he's talking to his disciples, And he says, if you love me, no, that's 15. Let's just go there too. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. That's an advocate, that's a helper, it's a comforter, it's a counselor, that he may abide with you forever. So who is this counselor? Who is this comforter? Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you but shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So when you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's in the world, and he's trying to, you know, talk to you and invite you into relationship. And the very moment you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, the very moment you make a decision to surrender your life to Christ, not to church and not to John Aiken and not the Faith Center, but to Jesus, you say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. You are Lord of my life. When the very moment you do that, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, his Spirit comes to live within your spirit. The comforter, the counselor comes to live inside of you, and he'll be with you forever. You're no longer an orphan. But Pastor, I feel like an orphan. I don't care what you feel like, you're not. You're not. One of the greatest lessons you could learn to walk in maturity in Christ is you are not what you feel. Never let your feelings distort your faith. Always let your faith ignite your feelings. And so this look here in John 14, 25 and 26. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the one who gives us counsel, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I had said to you. So all things. He'll teach you all things. He didn't say some things, all things. So I quoted this verse. I was preaching this verse to myself when Sarah and I wanted to remodel a bathroom in our house. And I got a quote of how much it would be to remodel. I was like, man, Lord, you can teach me all things. Teach me how to remodel this. Now, if you've ever seen me remodel stuff or try to do stuff, it's not a pretty picture. There's not a real flow to it. Matter of fact, we'll just call it darkness. But I didn't want to pay all that money. And so I was like, you know, I can do this. And if I totally mess it up, guess what? Somebody else will come in and fix it. And so Sarah was a great encouragement to me. And we started doing stuff. And I started watching YouTube videos and started looking at different stuff, going to Lowe's just to walk around to try to get some on me. I walk by somebody who looks like they know what they're doing. And I just walk by, yeah, a quarter inch socket, something. Oh, yeah, whatever. I just I know what I'm doing. Just build up some faith, you know? And so what would happen, so we went and we just tackled it. And there were some times where I about lost my salvation. There were some times where I almost cut my hand off. There were some times where some stuff happened. Lauren Biggers gave me a little nail gun. I think it was just to see what would happen. But we survived. But I'm going to tell you what, next time you come to my house, I'm going to show you the bathroom. I had somebody who knew what they were doing come in there and look at it. The floor's done, stuff's done. It's like really cool, y'all. It's really cool. It's all done. And it was a few hundred dollars versus a few thousand. And the whole time I'm like, Lord, you teach me all things. You teach me all things. Now that bathroom looks so cool. It looks so cool. Look, you can't use it, but it looks really cool. It looks really awesome. You can use it. I'm just kidding. And then somebody who knows what they're doing walked in and kind of looked up. You know how construction people are? They just, as they're judging the world, just looked up and here's, you know, your, I forgot what they call that stuff. Crown molding. That's kingdom, crown molding. He said, it's upside down. I'm like, it's a style. It's a new style. So I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what, but you know how sometimes we feel like we can't? We just feel like, and then we believe that whole narrative in our head of we can't, and we just get imprisoned and we sit in this and we get ungodly counsel. The counsel of the Lord is, I will teach you all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The counsel of the Lord. Now look, don't take it too far. There's probably some things you should leave to other people. Like Sarah's going to cook, not me. We're just going to leave some things to other people. But there are things that you're not doing because you've believed the lie and the ungodly counsel that you can't, but you have a counselor and a comforter who will expand you and empower you and tell you that you can if you put your focus on me. And so that's the thing about releasing the light of God. And look in John 16. Look at just chapter 16 since we're here over in verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Oh, and that whole, I've already taught on that section right there. And I'll chase a rabbit if I get into that. So skip down verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine. Oh, I just love this. He will take of what is mine. That's Jesus saying authoritatively, I got this. I'm not giving you something that's in heaven, it's like in heaven, it's like him saying, I'm not giving you something I learned on Google. I'm not giving you something that worked for somebody else, and I think it might work for you. What he's saying is, the Holy Spirit is going to take from what is mine. What is mine, and going to give it to you. Oh, it's just so good. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So how does it come? How does the stuff that is of the Lord, how does it come to us from the Spirit? It's through a declaration. The kingdom of God is voice activated. It always begins with a word. He sent his word and healed them. It's always his word. The word, the seed of the word. So if God's going to change your life, the unfolding of the word brings light. If he's going to change your life, he's going to say, light be, and darkness is going to flee. So everything that God is wanting to download into your life will come to you word first. He'll declare it to you. And then it says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And that declaration is an authoritative declaration. You not only have the passcode, which is the blood of Jesus, you've got access to it by the grace of God. You've got access. Everything in the kingdom is by grace through faith. So you have access to what is his, and he gives it to you. So not only what he walks in, now you can walk in. If you take his counsel. Or you can take the counsel of the ungodly and go sit in Scornville and get so scorned that you blame God for your, I love you, but I'm speaking this to me too. You get into such a place that you blame God and others for your disobedience. I don't have time to go to all these scriptures. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But before I do, I want to share just a thought on two other scriptures. Maybe three, if I get my preach on. 2 Corinthians 4 is where we're going to land here in just a second. Second Corinthians 10. God first appeared to Abraham, talking to him. Then in Genesis 17, God appeared to him again. And here's the basic, this is where I wish I had that Alvin Moore voice. Because God appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God. He just steps up in the scene like, I am Almighty God. I just wonder what Abraham was, you know, what that was like. You know, what it was like for Abraham. I know what it's been like for me at different times. There was one time years ago I was praying, and I was on my floor in the middle of the night, and I was praying, I was crying out to God. And you do what you want with this if it doesn't fit your theology, but this is what happened to me. I was praying, and I was just seeking the Lord and seeking his counsel and just about a certain thing, and I'm just weeping, and I'm crying out to the Lord. And I was like, Lord, I want to see you. Like, I just want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Like, I want you to show up. I want to see you. And I'm on my face just in carpet, and I'm sitting there, and I didn't see anything. But it's almost like if you ever been in carpet and if your hands are like on the carpet and somebody come and stands in front of you, you feel the carpet kind of bend down. I don't know if I'm not probably explaining it well, but I'm sitting there and it felt like somebody was standing in front of me because the carpet kind of bent down. It's, you know, cushy carpet that kind of bent down. And I, not with my audible voice, but like somebody put a speaker in my heart, I heard this because I'm saying, Lord, I want to see you, God. I want to see you. And I heard this very clear, you can't handle seeing me. And I was like, I thought you was nice. Like, why we gotta start like that? But it wasn't like you, like demeaning. It was like this thing of, I am the Lord Almighty. I ain't just your bud who's going to come show up and talk to you. I'm not one of your Facebook friends. I'm not here to like your page. I'm God Almighty. And then he says in Psalm 91, y'all know the whole psalm is just incredible, but you know, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High, the Most High shall abide in the presence, and really talking about under the shadow of his wing, which is El Shaddai, God Almighty, God, the All-Sufficient One, and all the things that being under his covering represents, being under his covering, because you know you're in the will of the Lord. You're walking in an obedient lifestyle. You know you're in the will of the Lord. There's a might to that. The Lord Almighty gives us counsel to walk in his covering. Oh, it's just such good stuff. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I love this. Many of you know this. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. I'm going to say it this way, every declaration into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. This scripture is so powerful to me because we learned in America, we learned to live with strongholds of the enemy, strongholds of darkness. And then we tell people, don't judge our strongholds. Don't judge us, because we found comfort, false safety in a dark and even demonic or fleshly stronghold, something that has a strong hold on you. And how do you know you have a stronghold? Here's a stronghold. Something has a strong hold on you, so that even if Sean, come up here real quick. You're big enough, this will work. So get a stronghold of me, but don't hurt yourself, though. I might flex. We'll pray healing over you later. So a stronghold, say he's a stronghold, whatever his stronghold is, and I want to go somewhere. Whatever. No, you got a stronghold. You got a stronghold on me. Am I hurting you, Sean? I just want to make sure I'm not hurting you. Yeah, so I really feel like I needed to go. I feel like it'd be wise for me to go this way. That's a stronghold. I can't go where I know I need to go. So your stronghold can either be from, now you can let go. Okay, you can go sit down. Your stronghold can either be of darkness or light. Your stronghold is either a stronghold of Jesus Christ on you, so when you feel tempted and you want to go sin, boom, he's got you. You feel you have a momentary lapse of judgment and you feel like, you know what, maybe I need to go back to Egypt. Maybe I need to go do this. Maybe you get a little insecurity, a little whatever. When you have a stronghold by living a lifestyle in the Word of God and being obedient to the Word of God, on the day that you have a weak day, on the day you have a hard time, on the day when you find out something that is tough or difficult and you feel like, you know what, I have a momentary lapse and forget who I am. If you live a lifestyle seeking the counsel of the Lord, you will be in the might of the Lord through obedience to Christ, and there will be a stronghold of obedience upon you. And when you even feel like, you know what, I'm just going to go do something. Can't happen. But most of us, in America, there's so many people, even Christians, unbelieving believers who have strongholds. They're saved, but they have strongholds. They have one candle lit, the Lord, but the rest is dark because they don't know how to walk in wisdom and understanding of the Lord. They don't know how to walk in a counsel of the Lord that releases and unlocks the might of God. So what happens is we know the Lord and we trust we're going to go to heaven when we die, but in our everyday life, we live with a stronghold of, even when we want to fulfill the purpose of the Lord, when we want to walk in all the might that he's called us to walk in, and the ministry and the business and whatever he's called us to do, we can't. Not because the Lord doesn't love us, because our lifestyle and the stronghold we open to won't let us. And all you got to do to change that, all you got to do to change that is call on the name of the Lord. All you got to do to change that is stop seeking the counsel of the ungodly. And I'm going to find out, even if I don't even know where to find, I don't even know how to read the Bible, I don't even know how to do whatever, you go find somebody who at least looks like they know what the Bible's talking about. You find somebody and you get in the Word and you just start growing. You come to church when you don't feel like it. And I'm going to say something. Worship team, come up before I get myself in trouble. I'm going to say something. Don't you fall. Don't you fall prey. You don't fall prey to it. I won't fall prey to it. Don't fall prey to those emotions when you sit here, especially because of what's happening in our world and everyone feels disconnected and everyone feels isolated. I get it. I understand. We are living in a very difficult time, but that doesn't change. The season we're in does not change, and the difficulties we're in does not change who we are. So if you're offended, get honking over it. If your emotions got you all knotted up and, well, you just need to get over it, not for my sake, but for your sake. And what we can do together is not let our emotions, you don't think I ever feel that stuff? You don't think I ever feel like, you know what, I ain't gonna show up today? You don't think I ever feel those struggles or those things? But I try to make a decision, and many of you encourage me in this, to make a decision of bowing myself before the Lord and remembering who he is, remembering who I am in him, remembering what he's called me to do, and coming back to the Word of God to get a counsel that will unlock the might of God in my life and be a stronghold in me and through me. That just you bum off my Wi-Fi and feel the strength of the Lord. Doesn't mean you don't have any problems. I got more problems I can shake a stick at. My problems are reproducing problems. You can't let too many problems start talking. They reproduce problems. But I go to the Word of the Lord. I go to the Word of the Lord. Who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Whose counsel do you turn to? I want to go into a time of worship, and I'm going to let these candles come, so don't come up here. If you put a lot of hairspray on this morning, don't come up here. In a minute, we're going to do a thing in a few minutes of lighting our candles, but I want to go into a time of worship. And if you're here this morning, I do want any of the altar, the prayer team, we have people here to pray for you, maybe standing a little away from the center on this side and this side, because we want to pray for you. If you're here and you know you just need to, you need to maybe give your life to Jesus, you need to give your life back to Jesus, or you know there's things that got a stronghold on you, and you need to bring that stuff into captivity, you need to break that stronghold, and you need to seek the counsel of the Lord, even though you don't know exactly what to do or where to go or whatever, you come up here and you either bow yourself before the Lord. Even if you're here and you've been freed from a stronghold and you just want to thank God, maybe that's what's rising up in you. You just want to thank God that he's developed a new and established a new stronghold in you, that you're not living in that nonsense anymore. And you want to thank the Lord. You can come up here and thank him, whatever it is that you come up here. If you need to receive prayer for any reason, and if you are here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, then you come and you tell one of these people, I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want a relationship with Christ. And he'll change you. He'll transform you. They'll show you exactly what to do. So let's begin a time of worship and seeking the Lord. Prayer team, why don't you go ahead and come on up. And if you don't mind, stand to your feet. Father, in Jesus' name, we set our heart to seek you, God. We set our heart to know you, God. We set our heart to just magnify you. You are wonderful. You are the great counselor. You're the light of the world, God. And your light has pierced and penetrated our darkness. And Lord, we worship you and we bless you. We're not ashamed to bless you. We're not ashamed to thank you, God. Help us, Holy Spirit, to declare the wonderful works of God. Help us be a people that are courageous in this day and time to lift up the name of Jesus. And as we worship, Father, as we worship you, I ask for the power of your word and the power of your spirit to loosen the strongholds of darkness. Set your people free. In Jesus' name. Come receive prayer.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.